The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from American Family Field, and the results are good. A Brewers 7-1 victory, and welcome everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway, Union Grove, as the Brewers here get the victory. And what I think is a huge victory, you guys can laugh at times when you say, well, a game in mid to late April, you consider that a huge victory. I do, and here's why. Number one, the offense breaks out a little bit, and a lot to talk about with this offense tonight. But the other is that it evened up this series for an opportunity to take the series with a victory tomorrow. And to me, that's the biggest part of this win here, that you have a chance with one victory tomorrow to get out to San Diego on a good roll, winning four consecutive. Think about that. Four consecutive series victories, 2-1 over Chicago, St. Louis, Chicago, and hopefully with a victory tomorrow, Pittsburgh. And it doesn't matter. Hey, Pittsburgh had won 6 of their last 8 after yesterday's victory. So it's sort of not a pushover. They may end up there by the end of the campaign here. But as of right now, they get off to a slow start and then rattled off, you know, 6 of 8 victories. That's pretty good for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But the Brewers, they bounce back after the defeat yesterday, 6-1, with their own 7-1 win here tonight. And the biggest news of which, Christian Yelich is placed on the IL. Eric Yardley is recalled, and that's tough. And really, when you take inventory of all three of those guys on the IL right now, Wong, Kane, Yelich, boy, that's a lot to put on this offense. It is. And we're going to talk about the offense here tonight as, you know, they need to do just kind of protect a little bit. Protect from any sort of losing streak. Protect the pitchers and keeping things honest. For example, tonight, you know, you get out to a 5-run lead. Brett Anderson goes into cruise control a little bit. A few bumps along the way, but, you know, for the most part, he was outstanding tonight. I mean, you can't argue with 7 innings of 6 single baseball in 1 run. That's it. Scattered 6 singles to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Brett was doing his job. And again, even if the Brewers didn't put up the 5 there, at least they were in the game. And I mentioned this last night, and here's why it's imperative that this offense holds serve. They need to protect this pitching staff a little bit. And they need to wait until they get their guys back. And that's obviously Yelich, it's Wong, and it's Kane. That is the key right now, is to make sure this offense just doesn't go into the tank. And look at this, 7 runs put up, not 1 via the home run ball. And this is the way I envision this offense at the beginning of the year. They're not going to hit a ton of homers. They're not. It's just not happening. And I know a lot of people battled me on that philosophy, but here we are with an 8-6 mark, 14 games in here. They're not going to hit a ton of home runs. But if you keep the line moving like they did tonight, that's good enough. And they're going to have to be just good enough moving forward while their guys are out and you're getting these performances, which are outstanding. And might I add this? I thought about Hauser being pulled yesterday after 4 1/3. And again, I don't want to make this about a stat being more important than the actual wins and losses. But I do have to say, in hindsight now, this streak should still be going with these starting pitchers. They should still be at it right now. I believe this, and the more I think about it, I believe that not only Hauser yesterday after 4 1/3, 2 on, 1 out, just 1 run in his performance, needed 2 outs to continue this at least 5-inning streak with 1 runner or less. I not only think Hauser earned that, but I think that starting rotation as a whole earned a chance for Hauser to get out of that inning right there. So I do have a little gripe with Craig Counsell as of maybe this morning. It irked me a little. Now it just bugs me a little bit more with Brett Anderson doing what he did today, 7 full, 6 hits, and just the 1 run allowed. But a big Brewers victory tonight. They even up the series and a chance, as I said, to get back into it and take the series tomorrow. Where's the offense in your mind here when it comes to Yelich, Kane, and Wong being out? It looks like Colton Wong is going to be probably added at some point in the road trip. Again, after tomorrow's game, guys, they're headed to San Diego for a 3-game set, an off day on Thursday, and then 3 games, all day games in Chicago starting Friday. So Colton Wong is actually eligible to, you know, probably join the team and get into some action, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if that they wait a little bit more. Maybe they pull the trigger. And if Yelich is feeling a lot better, maybe both of those guys are in game 1 in Chicago on Friday. But there's 4 games to get through minimum without Christian Yelich in your offensive arsenal. And you're going to have to do, and it's San Diego. 3 of those games, 3 of the next 4 are against the San Diego Padres. So, I mean, the offense needs to hold serve. Where's your confidence level in this offense as you take a look at it tonight? We'll get into our game recap here. Tonight they get out of the chute, and it was huge. Guys, it was huge for many, many reasons, the biggest of which an opportunity, as I said, to take the series with a win tomorrow. 799-1250 if you guys want to join us here. The Polish Pipe Bomb is with me tonight. My name is Tim Allen. Let's get into our game recap here as Brett Anderson took to the hill at 6:10 tonight. Anderson, a ground out, a fly out, then a broken bat base hit, then a broken bat ground out into the bottom of the first. And here's where the fireworks came in. And here's, again, guys, this is a situation where I'm not looking for the offense to just tear it up and be the best offense in the National League for a few weeks. It's just not going to happen. But is it going to be good enough? Guys like Billy McKinney, guys like Luis Urias, Jackie Bradley Jr., they're going to play huge roles, whether it's Peterson or Robertson, huge roles. Can Travis Shaw continue? And again, it doesn't have to be, offensive arsenal that's first, second, or third in the NL. They need to hold their end of the bargain here as each game. Hey, this pitching staff is keeping you in a ball game, even with, and I'm not saying the Brewers offense is bad. I'm just saying the way these guys are pitching, even a bad offense is in every game. And that's what they need to do, their end of the bargain. Brewers, bottom of the first inning. Jackie Bradley Jr., an infield single. He steals second while Keston is up. Keston Hira, come on, baby, get him over. No, hard contact to third for the first out. Bradley holding right there at second base. Shaw, hard contact to the right side. It brings up Avi Garcia with 2 outs and a man aboard.
The 0-1. Broken bat, little flare, falling fast. Down, base hit. Jackie Bradley Jr. will score. And the Brewers score first tonight as Avi Garcia hits them where they ain't. And it's an RBI single.
This and all the highlights from Bally Sports Wisconsin. 1-0 at that point. Omar Narvaez follows up with a base hit. 2 on, 2 out, 1 in. And it brings up Billy McKinney.
No balls and a strike on McKinney. Pulls that one. That's fair. Just inside the bag. Hits the sidewall. Garcia will score. Narvaez to third. It's an RBI single for Billy McKinney. 2-0 Brewers.
Getting to kind of like Billy McKinney here so far in the campaign. I think you guys would all agree with that. That's an RBI base hit. 2-0. And the inning wasn't over at that point. First and third, two out, two in for Luis Urias.
Here's a 3-1. And that ball's hit hard left center. That's down. Base hit. Narvaez will score. It's bobbled in center field. Now McKinney's going to be wound up and sent home. He'll score. Two more runs are in. Urias into second on the bobble in center. 4-0 Brewers.
That does drive in two runs right there. A base hit with an error, and the Brewers go up 4-0. Jace Peterson, again, two outs. Let's keep the line moving.
Two outs, runner at second. Peterson on the ground, up the middle, through, base hit. Urias will score, and it's an RBI single for Jace Peterson. What an inning. A five spot, and still only two outs.
Yeah, it's 5-0 at that point, and Anderson strikes out to end the frame, but a high five in the first. 5-0 into the second inning. Brewers flashing some leather in the second inning. Shaw, a nice play. Urias, a nice play, and a dig by Keston, and a ground ball to the right side as it was a quick 1-2-3 in that second inning. Brewers looking for more in the second inning offensively. A leadoff triple by JBJ, and it brought up Keston Hira.
Keston Hira was out earlier working with coach. Early BP for him. He's trying to tighten up his mechanics a little bit. That one's hit well right center field. On the run is Alford. It is at the base of the wall. In to score easily is Bradley. It's an RBI double for Keston Hira. And the Brewers add one more run. 6-0.
Yeah, an RBI double from Keston there in the second inning. Scorching for Keston. Shaw then does his job. A ground ball to the right side moves Keston over with one out, one in. And Avi Garcia, well, he gets him in.
Another broken bat. Coming in to make the play is Reynolds. Hira's going to tag, and Hira will score. Two broken bats, two RBIs for Avi Garcia.
Expensive night for the Brewers. His bats run about $50 a piece. Good thing Garcia didn't have to pay for him.
7-0, still got the bat handle in his hands.
Yeah, there it was on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Couple of broken bats, as you just heard, one for one with the sack fly, two RBIs for Avi Garcia. 7-0 into the third inning, and Brett Anderson walks the leadoff man in that third. Up 7-0, really, Brett? Okay. But then gets the next three, no problems, to the bottom of the third inning. Brewers in order in the bottom of the third, 7-0 into the fourth inning. Pirates on the board in that fourth. Leadoff base hit off Shaw's glove. That ball was hit like a rocket, though. No chance for Shaw. Pass ball moves him over to second base. And Colin Moran with a ground out to Peterson. A nice play. Flashing some leather tonight. Runner at third with one out. Ground ball to short. Scores that run. A bad throw from Urias allows Stallings to reach. Then a double play ends the inning right there. Just the one run doing the damage there in the fourth inning. JBJ, Keston, and Shaw, 1-2-3 in the bottom half. Bradley leading off through the four innings. He's led off three of those innings. That's interesting. Brett Anderson scoreless, fifth. Just the veteran lefty doing his job. He did allow a couple of hits there. A double play helps him out in that fifth inning. Brewers offense looking for more in the bottom of the fifth inning. After one out, Narvaez hit by a pitch. McKinney then with a base hit. But Urias hits into the inning-ending double play into the sixth inning. Holding pattern at 7-1. Anderson, just one base runner in the sixth inning. Urias, another error, his second on the night at that point. Four hits, a run, three strikeouts through six frames for Brett Anderson to that point. A hit from Jackie Bradley Jr. on the bottom half of the sixth. His third on the night, 7-1 into the top of the seventh. Is Brett coming out for the seventh? Of course he is. First two men reach in the seventh. But three fly balls, gets him out of it. Ground ball pitcher gets three fly balls in that seventh inning. Seven full for Brett Anderson. The cagey lefty allows six singles. And again, just the one run given up. Travis Shaw comes up with a knock in the bottom of the seventh inning. That was good for Shaw, 1-for-4 on the night. Eric Yardley comes in to pitch the eighth inning. This is one of the bigger things that happened in this game. And I know you're saying to yourself, how do you figure Eric Yardley? Just recalled because Yelly put on the IL. And again, we talk about that bullpen with Devin Williams having some issues. With Eric Yardley having some issues, now he's pressed back into duty. Rasmussen trying to find himself. Yardley, big time. It's very important for Eric Yardley to get his stuff together. We have to remember he was in 24 games last year of the 60, and he had a .154 ERA. That's vital for this Brewers bullpen, for him to get back on track. And he does it, a ground ball to Urias, but he throws it away. His third error on the night. Woo. Orlando who? But Yardley gets out of it. A huge scoreless frame, as I said, for Eric Yardley. Into the bottom of the eighth inning to the ninth. Rasmussen in. He gives up just a base hit and no runs. There's your final. 7-1, the Brewers get the victory, and they put up 5 in the first, 2 in the second, and with Yelich, Wong, as well as Lorenzo Cain on the IL, how do you feel about this offense? Are they good enough to get through this until those guys are back and win their fair share of ball games? They have a chance to take this series. Take a break here, come back. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Brewers, a 7-1 victory. We'll be right back. 1250 AM, The Fan and Odyssey Station.
The game's over, and Tim Allen is taking your calls now on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan. Dial them up now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Nice win for the crew tonight, 7-1. The final as Brett Anderson gets it done on the mound, and the offense puts up a high five in the first, all with two outs, by the way, I might add. That's keeping the line moving. Not one home run in this game for the Brewers offense. And how do you feel about that Brewers offense now that, you know, it's official, Yelly on the IL, and we're going to hear from Christian Yelich in just a couple of minutes, so stick around for that. But not only Yelich, it's Colton Wong and it's Lorenzo Cain. That's a big bite out of this Brewers offense. And it's all right if you tell me, and if you want to tell me that the Brewers offense is way, way below average, that's okay. We can debate this. What I'm asking is if they're good enough to kind of hold it together here to get their fair share of victories while those guys are out. I mean, any team that loses, you know, first of all, it's three gold glovers defensively. I mean, we'll just start there. A two-time batting champion and an MVP in Yelich is gone. Cain, the heartbeat of this Brewers team, really gone. Wong, last 2 years, he's received the gold glove and your leadoff hitter. I mean, you think about any team that loses that. Okay, I'm not asking to be the murderer's row. I'm asking these guys to hold it together until you get a little healthier. And quite honestly, I think the offense is still trying to find itself a little bit, despite the losses to the IL. They really are. I mean, Council is trying to get Vogelbach in there. He's got to go with McKinney. There's no question about that. McKinney has earned that time. Robertson, as you may have noticed, has sort of abused the privilege. Is that fair? But are they good enough to win their fair share of games for this pitching staff? Because this pitching staff is amazing. Again, 14 games in, but amazing. 799-1250. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're on 1250 AM The Fan. What's going on?
Hey, Tim. You know, I don't know quite yet if our offense is what I want it to be and what we're accustomed to being as Brewer fans. You know, going into the offseason, it was a unique position to be in. This is the first time I've ever actually felt confident about our pitching staff. But, you know, the one thing about hitting, Tim, is you always get the unsung heroes to step up in the biggest moments, whether it's a Billy McKinney or a Joe Inglet, if you recall that, or a Ray Durham. I mean, I'm throwing out random names, but those are the guys that always step up in the biggest moments. It always comes down to pitching and bullpen. And this is the first time we have that. I think the offense is good enough with an MVP, and if Omar actually turned it around, and you know you can bet on this, is that David's going to go out at the break, whether it's our second baseman or our shortstop that's struggling, he's going to go out and get somebody that's going to turn this ball club into a little bit of an offensive machine. And hitting at Miller Park, when that weather warms up, you know that ball is going to fly out. So I would never be concerned about the offense. We got the pitching this year. I think this team's special. I don't know. I've been to Miller Park twice now.
Ryan, let me just throw this at you. I mentioned this last night. Because of this pitching staff, and I'm not saying we wouldn't take it, but you don't absolutely need a great offense to be in every baseball game. Because you're going 5, 6, 7 innings in tonight's case with Brett Anderson, but you're going mid-game, mid to late game, and you're still in the ball game, despite the offense not clicking on all cylinders, because they're still not. And that's a good thing. That's a luxury for this team to have. But is that offense going to be good enough? And as you said, who is going to step up? It looks like McKinney is. It looks like Narvaez has a complete turnaround from last year, no doubt.
Well, you know what, Tim? A couple of years ago, we had no clue who Jesus Aguilar was or Jonathan Villar or any of these guys. So it always takes just a random guy to step up. And we have our household names in Kane and Yelich and Wong. We know they're going to show up. But who's going to show up in the playoffs? It's a random hero. And maybe he's the NLCS MVP like a Lorenzo Cain. And the household names can always step up and be the guy, but it's always the most random name. So I'm not necessarily worried. I think at Miller Park, or I'm sorry, AmFam, you always have to have the pitching that makes the difference. And we saw that years ago when Jeremy Jeffries gave up the homer to Puig. It always comes down to pitching. It really does. We can't get into a slugfest with the Dodgers. I mean,
nope.
They are a buzzsaw, so we can't get into that. We have to play up the middle. That's what Stearns did this year. He went out and got defense and pitching. That's what we have to do. So I'm not worried about the offense. Not yet, anyways. I might call you in a couple months and say, God, Timmy, we can't hit. But I'm not worried about that quite yet.
Good deal, Ryan. Thanks a lot. Ryan calling from Kenosha. And being my hometown, I would recommend those of you in that area check out a Kingfish game when you get a chance. I don't know what's going on with the Northwoods League, though, this year. I'm going to have to check into that. I'll get you an update soon on what's going on with that Northwoods League. Are they going to have fans there? What are they doing? So we'll check that out. 799-1250 as the Brewers get the 7-1 victory. We will hear from Christian Yelich coming up in just a bit. You know, and you wondered, I mean, Craig Counsell yesterday left it sort of open-ended a little bit with an opportunity over this weekend to get Yelly back. He goes on the off day on Thursday, does some working out at American Family Field, and does a little bit yesterday. And there was, according to Counsell, no progress was made. So they decided to shut it down, an IL stint, and they'll retro that to the point where he would be eligible to play on Friday, this coming Friday, at Wrigley Field. So we were going to hear from Yelich himself how he's doing. The back thing, I'm a little curious about a sore back. And I know there's some heavy lifting with regards to playing baseball. You think it's a lightweight sport. It's really not. These guys swing with a massive amount of steam. But is there any sort of structural damage that they're finding there? You would think they'd get this thing checked out. I mean, this has been a while here. He's missed now 5 consecutive games. And a sore back's a sore back. We've all had a sore back a little bit, and that can be debilitating. But I just wonder if they've checked things out to make sure that there's no you know, major issues, and I would imagine they have. He's had some back issues before. Now, speaking of offense, name was brought up last night. And the answer, I'll give you the answer first. Not yet. I'll bring Polish Pipe Bomb in here. Not yet is the answer to what question when it comes to an available outfielder that is loved in Milwaukee?
Yeah, is Ryan Braun coming back to save the day for the Brewers offense?
Not yet. But if this were, and if this is, sort of a June-July situation, and you run into maybe some hard luck injuries, and you have a veil, if you will, in terms of roster, would you consider?
Tim, I don't think there's any way, and I don't care if the Brewers have a 25-game lead in the division or if the Brewers are out of first place by 25 games, it's not going to happen before the 4th of July in Pipe Bomb's world here.
Okay.
But Ryan Braun will be back in a Milwaukee uniform swinging the bat this season. I think it's almost a guarantee.
I'm going to heavy lean with you a little bit. The key here is, I would disagree slightly. I think the key here is, Pipe Bomb, that they are in it. That to me is the key. Because if they're not, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to put myself in Ryan Braun's shoes.
Well, you know, how many athletes, and it doesn't matter if they're elite and had an amazing career like Ryan Braun has had, or if they're just, you know, a quote-unquote fan favorite that sit there and go on the one-year-and-a-half-long goodbye tour just so they could get free gifts in every city they go to and all that kind of garbage. You know, it usually pisses me off, but with the fact of what happened last season with no fans in the stands, Ryan Braun most certainly deserves to go out to a 5-minute standing ovation at AmFam Field.
That I agree with, and I think to me it's a heavy lean that it will happen, because I consider the Brewers to be in this race throughout, and he's going to help the team. I just think, despite all the history there, two things: he can help the team, and I think that's first. But a close second is, I think he deserves to go out that way. Last year was just, I didn't want Ryan Braun to go out the way he did. I mean, pull him off the field, pull him out of left field in about the 7th or 8th inning of a game late in September at American Family Field when there's a much bigger crowd, which I'm going to go on the fact there will be. That place will go bananas, will go crazy, despite the history with Ryan Braun. But it will, and I just think everything he's done to help this organization win, I think he deserves that. But the answer to the question is, for right now, with Yelich, Wong, Kane on the IL, not yet. Just way too early. They're 8-6 after the 7-1 victory tonight. They set themselves up to take the series with a victory tomorrow. It would be their 4th consecutive series victory with a win tomorrow. That's big time. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. Maybe we'll squeeze in Brett Anderson, but certainly Christian Yelich on the way here. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show. It is driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Huge victory. Yeah, Tim, they're all huge. No, this is a little bit bigger, because it allows them to go after the series with a win tomorrow. A 7-1 win. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan, call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Offense puts up 5 in the first, 2 in the second, and it lasts for a 7-1 victory as the Brewers take game 2 of this 3-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they set themselves up to win the series tomorrow. And we're talking about if the offense is good enough to kind of hold serve, just kind of rock steady a little bit for this offense as you try and get healthier. And those are big losses. Make no mistake about it. And I don't want to get into, you know, whether or not Jace Peterson or Daniel Robertson or Billy McKinney, some of these guys are capable or not. Because, you know, our last caller said it quite frequently, someone always steps up that you didn't really expect to. And so special seasons made out of special things, and maybe that's a Billy McKinney type thing here for this year. But you cannot discount the fact that your offense, I'm sorry, guys, it just pales in comparison when you put Yelich, Kane, and Colton Wong in there. They need those guys back, and they need them quick, as quickly as they can get them back in there. Now, what they want to do is play it safe, and we're hearing that sort of mantra happening throughout the past week or so, that we're err on the side of caution is really what's thrown out there. Well, I mean, that's fine, and I'm all right with that. But there's no guarantees. When someone says, well, you'd rather lose Christian Yelich for 10 days here in April than a six-week stint on the IL in August and September. Well, of course. But there's no guarantees that placing him on the 10-day IL in April is going to protect him from an IL stint in August. I don't buy that part of it. That part of it, uh-uh. So they need to figure out, you know, I think maybe at times they take too much time. I do. And I know it sounds strange. But I think they take too much time to actually pull the trigger on the IL stint. That, to me, is where that trigger should have come a little bit quicker. Okay, I get it. Injuries happen. Let's get them on the IL. They waited on Colton Wong. They waited on Christian Yelich. In the meantime, you're running thin offensively. And so, are they good enough? The answer to that question, to me, is yes. But again, it's just good enough. And I don't mean to offend the Brewers' offense right now, but they're just good enough to be a winning baseball team with that pitching. For sure, they are. The pitching is going to... Now, if their collective ERAs, both bullpen and starting rotation, if that was sitting around 5.5 or so and you were going to have to get 5 runs on the board each night to win a baseball game, 5, 6, 7 runs, that wasn't gonna work for this offense. They were going to go on extended losing streaks. But because you have the pitching you do right now, it means your offense is afforded the luxury of just doing good enough. And that's where they're at. Keston Hira just starting to get it together a little bit. Jackie Bradley Jr., same thing. Just starting to get it together here a little bit. Travis Shaw was a huge base hit tonight. Really was. I know he went 1-for-4. But that hit was big. Abby Garcia, heating up. Omar Narvaez has been hot. So you do have some things to work with here. And maybe throughout the test of, say, the next week or so, maybe they can step it up until these guys get back. Again, Yelich, we're going to hear from him in just a mere couple of minutes here. So stick around for that. But are they good enough to kind of coexist with this type of pitching staff? Most offenses would be. And as I said last night, they're almost playing a playoff style of baseball game every night. And that means you're in the game in the 5th, 6th, and 7th innings. It's seemingly, you watch playoff games and it's 3-1. Maybe in the series that the Brewers lost to the Dodgers last year. What was it, a 3-0 victory and then a 4-2 victory for the Dodgers. I mean, you're going to be, with this pitching staff, you're going to be in all those games. And this offense needs to, again, just cross your fingers that a couple of these guys get hot and carry the baton until the health of Kane, Wong, and Yelich come back. We'll take a quick break, come back, hear from Christian Yelich, get it from his words. I can't wait for this, because this will give us all an idea as to how long we're going to have to wait to get Yelly back in this offense. 799-1250 at Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 1250 AM The Fan. It's an Odyssey station.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
I think I look at it this way after the 7-1 victory today. Until Yelly, Kane, and Wong are back, and this team can have some sort of consistency with regards to healthy players available, I just cross my fingers every night with this offense. I do. You just sit back and you watch them. And the reason you can feel a little content with that is because of the pitching they're getting. And so the pressure is not necessarily on the offense to put up 6 or 7 on a nightly basis. It's up to the Brewers' offense to be opportunistic and come up with some big hits here and there. You know, keep the line moving. I loved it today. 2 outs. First inning. All 5 runs come across with 2 outs. That's huge, guys. Keep that line moving. It's almost, you know, where do you need the home run ball in today's world of baseball? I guess, according to counts, according to a lot of managers, you kind of need that 2-3-run home run to kind of, you know, level the playing field a little bit with some of these teams. I don't know about that anymore. I'm not sure. But the offense has to just hang in there, hold the serve, and just wait it out until this dude gets back. Let's go inside the clubhouse after the Brewers' victory. He was placed on the IL today. Let's hear from Christian Yelich.
Hey, Christian, can you just kind of tell us how you're feeling today and what happened? It sounded, you know, Craig said he stopped making progress today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not good enough to play, so... Yeah, IL trip for me.
Christian, was it, he said he told us you kind of ramped up the last couple of days. Was this a setback or is that too strong?
I'd say too strong. I mean, you got a certain amount of days that you got to play by. So you got to go for it and see if you can make it. And, you know, obviously, I wasn't really in a spot where I was ready to go. So when that happens, yeah, you know, you got to take a trip to IL and get things squared away.
Hey, Christian, did something happen in that game Sunday in St. Louis, that ball that you're back, or was it bugging you going into the game?
Yeah, I mean, just didn't feel good enough during the game. You know, didn't feel like I could keep going, and there was no like one thing that happened, and just unfortunate, and hopefully deal with it and put it behind us and get back out there.
Christian, will you just pretty much shut it down for the next couple of days then until you feel like you're in a place to ramp up again?
Probably with the baseball stuff, yeah. And then just trying to do some other things to, you know, get feeling better and get some of the stuff to calm down and be able to get back out of there.
Christian, does this time feel different than other times when your back's bothered you? Is this different in any way?
Not really. No, it's pretty much similar stuff and. You know, things that unfortunately have seemed to pop up for me for the last once or twice a year, and pretty frustrating to say the least.
Christian, you got the team got good games from Jackie and Billy McKinney tonight, and those guys are really important now with you and Lowe both down. You feel good just kind of seeing guys pick up the slack while you guys are out for a bit?
Yeah, we're definitely rooting for those guys, and it's good to see them have success and contribute, and for us to get a win tonight. That's all me and Lo can do right now for the team is pull for those guys, root for them, and just help them with anything they need. But they're two great players, and just great for them to be able to fill in.
Christian, if there's any silver lining in this at all, is it that it's happened early in the year and you have time? It's not like in a pennant race or, that it's early and you have plenty of time to get back out there and have a good year?
There's not really ever a good time for it. I guess that it's not the last week of the season, but other than that, not really too many silver linings.
Because you were feeling good, right? It looked like you were producing at kind of the level you expect.
I don't know. It's a pretty short sample, but felt pretty good. And, you just don't really want to get out of the rhythm of the season. And, the stop start taking probably going to be close to 2 weeks for me, at least from not playing. So something you got to deal with and just get back out there. But, it's disappointing to not be out there. It's frustrating that it, popped up again. You just want to play every day, get in the rhythm, contribute to, the team. And, my job now is to get healthy, get back out there, and, see what we can do once it happens.
All right, there he is. It's Christian Yelich. And, he didn't sound to me. He didn't sound too pleased, and who would be when you're getting shut down from baseball activities? And that's what surprised me there. I'm based on just, and I hope I'm wrong, but just based on his demeanor there and no baseball activities for the next, few days is the way it was phrased. I don't believe Friday is a target time at all. Did you get that out of that, Jeff? They're saying he's eligible to play on Friday. Based on what I just heard there, I doubt it.
Yeah, I do too. It definitely sounds like it's going to be a lot longer than just Friday. I don't want to, pop anybody's bubble or jinx anything here, but it didn't sound good. And, hopefully he can get it going. He sounds laid back and relaxed. So
of course he does. That's California cool.
California cool. But we'll see what happens. Do you think, because we were talking about the question you threw out there was who on the offense can step up and try to help fill the void that Yelich is gonna leave. But do you think, and I think tonight's game's a perfect example, how Craig might have to sit there and do things a little bit different himself? What a relief it was seeing Anderson go seven strong tonight, when usually with this team, we're seeing the starters pulled earlier and earlier and earlier. Do you think Craig is going to have to make some adjustments with the way that he handles the staff as well?
Yeah, based on where the game is in a certain time and based on where his bullpen is at. His bullpen is not in great shape right now, and contrary to what people believe, it's been a strength of this team the last few years. Maybe more than that. But this is a little bit different. They're still trying to figure things out, and that's why I said Eric Yardley, that was a huge performance for him tonight. To get him back on track to where he can be that guy from last year is just – it cannot be understated, Yardley's performance and bounce back tonight. And let's see if he can follow that up with another one. But offensively – yeah, I think you're going to probably see some different things, Jeff. You're going to see maybe Avi in the leadoff spot a little bit. They're not going to face lefties too much at all here, and they haven't. I don't think they've faced a lefty in any 14 of these games in terms of starting pitchers. So in that regard, does Travis Shaw take a seat against a left-hander? I don't know if they're in a position to do that right now. You might have to bite the bullet and say, hey, Travis, just go. You're an everyday dude now. I don't think that was their intention coming into this year offensively. I think Travis Shaw was going to sit against left-handed pitching, at least to start, and then he'd be a, you know, maybe an insert later on in the game. But yeah, you might see a Keston thrown up there in the leadoff spot to get him going a little bit more. You might see Avi, who did, you know, lead off last year a little bit. So he's going to have to get even more creative while Yelly's out. And you're missing some power. You're missing it all right there with Yelich. And again, even the most optimistic of Brewers fans, like myself, you can't discount the hit that those three of your eight offensive weapons are gone for a while. And that's a huge hit. That's a huge hit. So one game at a time, one inning at a time, one situation at a time. Is this what this team is going to have to do? And Craig Counsell is going to have to move a whole mess of pieces around that board to get this thing done. And so far, so good tonight. One of the guys that's going to have to step in and just starting to scratch the surface here of what JBJ brought with him to the Milwaukee Brewers organization. A little concerning there at 1-for-19 to start, but he's starting to heat it up a little bit. Here's Jackie Bradley Jr. after tonight's victory in his three-hit game.
Jackie, it must have felt good to get the offense going right out of the chute tonight. You guys, you know, you let off a couple of innings, got some big early runs, and makes a big difference, doesn't it, to play from ahead like that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got down early. Well, actually, it wasn't early yesterday, but we just wanted to come back out today and perform a lot better, and we were able to execute tonight.
Jackie, is Brett kind of the perfect guy to get a lead for? He's a pitch-to-contact kind of guy. He probably feels like he can fill the strike zone with the early runs.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's attacking the zone, throwing strikes, trusting in his stuff, which is really good. He's sinking it, cutting it, making it curve. He's hitting both sides of the plate. It really makes it difficult when he's able to command both sides of the zone.
Jackie, you told us the other day you're typically a slow starter, but this is a nice hitting streak that you're on now. So what are the keys for you when you feel like you're locked in or you're seeing the ball well for you?
Just making sure I'm ready to hit, being on time. You know, I don't want to be passive. I want to be aggressive with pitches that are in the zone, swinging at strikes. And it really bothers me a lot, actually, not just sometimes, when I foul off pitches. Obviously, I know it's, you know, part of the game, but, it, you know, pitches that I feel like I can handle, I feel like sometimes gets me in a bad count.
Jackie, with Christian and Colton and Lorenzo all on the IL right now, are you feeling a little bit more pressure to try and carry the offense a little bit and, you know, hit the lead off and everything, or is that not really affect you one way or the other?
No, I don't feel any pressure. We have a great group of guys who are able to, you know, fill in and contribute at a high level. I think that's what's, you know, so special about this team, to be able to have the depth to be able to plug someone else back in and continue to win ball games. And, you know, obviously we want those guys back as quick as possible and as healthy as possible. So that's, we can't wait to have them back.
Hey, Jackie, you had the stolen base today. I know you had, I think you had taken an extra base on the bases a couple of days ago or something like somewhere around that range. Do you think that's going to be another big part of your game this year? And do you think that's kind of like an underrated aspect of this team, the base running ability?
Yeah, we got some athletes, and I definitely feel like it's going to be a part of my game. Being able to have a, you know, the freedom to do it, it's always, it's huge. And, you know, I think that's something that we're going to take pride in. You know, anytime you can, you know, get an extra base, it just makes things a lot more difficult on the other team and a lot easier for us to score runs.
There's Jackie Bradley Jr. after a three-hit game tonight. I was actually rooting for him. He had the base hit in the first, his next time up in the second inning. He had the triple, and then you're thinking, oh, okay, well, now get this double or home run, give him a pop at the cycle, but ended up with a base hit a little bit later on. But I'll tell you what, I'm growing to like that dude a lot.
Yeah, his demeanor seems like an easy guy to root for.
Yep, his demeanor, his attitude, he's engaging when people talk to him. He's focused, he's into it. I like that dude. I like him a lot. It seems like, and I've never met him, I've never talked to him, but seems like he'd be a really fun guy to interview and get into a baseball or life conversation even. That's pretty cool. Jackie Bradley Jr., I think he's making a lot of friends here thus far through the 14 games. And it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. A Brewers 7-1 victory. Going to get to Craig Counsell up next. Got to be pretty pleased with a couple. I don't know if he comments on it, but I was fist-pumping happy with Eric Yardley's performance tonight. And I know it gets lost here in a 7-1 runaway victory where your starter, Brett Anderson, you got to be overjoyed with that. Seven innings of one-run baseball. But let's not discount the importance of another arm in that bullpen. And Yardley to bounce back and get that scoreless rack today was big, guys. We'll be back on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Council's crew gets a much-needed victory today, and I say that because it evens up the series at a game apiece, and they can go after their fourth consecutive series victories, and a lot of folks say that, hey, just keep winning series. You're going to make hay here. And that's exactly what they're doing. They lose the opening series of the campaign. By the way, the 2021 championship season. But they lose that to the Twins, but then rattle off series victories over the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Cubs again. And with one simple victory tomorrow, they take another series victory, this time over these Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's hear from Craig Counsell, and he's going to have to get pretty creative. I wonder what sort of Sunday lineup is going to be in there tomorrow. He's not going to say anything about that tonight, but just keep that in your hip pocket for tomorrow. You could see a crazy sort of lineup tomorrow with these injuries. Yelly onto the IL. If you missed it today, that's the biggest news. Yardley recalled, and then there's Lorenzo Cain and Colton Wong also on the IL, but a brilliant performance from Brett Anderson tonight. Seven strong, six singles given up, just one run. And it was Yardley and Rasmussen after that. The Brewers offense, five runs in the first inning, all with two outs. They put up a couple of more runs in the second and cruise to the 7-1 victory. Here's Counts.
Hey, Craig, we were telling Brett what an offensive good luck charm he is. His two straight starts he's had to bat in the first inning. And, you know, you might go a whole year without the pitcher hitting, you know, in the first inning.
Yeah, that's a good stat, actually. I think, you know, walking out there after, you know, with the big lead early in the game is a great feeling for a starting pitcher. I think it just puts you on the aggressive side of everything you're doing. Takes kind of the careful out of everything you're doing. And that's a great way for Brett to pitch. So let's keep that trend going for sure.
Craig, we asked you so much last year and even early this year about not scoring early. How refreshing is it that, you know, you've scored against some of these starting pitchers in the last few weeks?
Yeah, that's why I complain about it, because then the baseball changes it. That's how it works. Right. It changes games. I think it changes how you play the games, and it's certainly a great feeling. And we've had a couple of those games where, you know, big runs early, just playing from a lead. I think we've talked about it for the other team side too, of what it does to you. So that's a nice trend to start too. And puts the other team just kind of behind the eight ball right away.
Craig, how nice is it to see Jackie get that three-hit game tonight and get going a little bit offensively?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, he got on base a bunch, a couple times last night too. But yeah, I mean, the hits were big, clearly, and it just good to get him going. His defense is just unquestionably really good. We've seen it already, I think. But to get him going at the top and with, you know, missing Colton, missing Lorenzo, missing Christian, the guys at the top of the lineup, being able to contribute up there and do some good stuff is a big deal for us.
Was it also nice to see both Eric and Drew come back with scoreless innings and for them to continue to build confidence?
Yeah, I thought Eric threw the ball really well. I thought his fastball was like really crisp. I thought location was really crisp with it. You know, he was throwing the fastball exactly where he wanted it. So that's a good sign. And then Drew's had, you know, two nice outings, I thought, where he just, again, the velocity feels like it's back. You know, it's 99, 98 today. So that's a good sign too. You know, that's what's going to – that velocity is what's the difference maker for him. That little tick up is how you – you know, just get hitters a little bit off your stuff.
Craig, how big was it for Brett to cover seven innings for you? You know, you just had to use those two guys. You just talked about Yardley and Rasmussen, and everybody else got the night off.
Yeah, those starts are – we love those starts. The bullpens love those starts. We're in good shape in the bullpen, you know, kind of regardless. But those starts have some carryover effect. The offense, you know, creating a gap has some carryover effect. So, you know, you keep JP out of the game. You keep, you know, a Boxberger out of the game. We don't have to get Angel Perdomo up tonight, things like that. So that's always is – it matters, and it helps you down the road without doubt.
Craig, from what we've seen from Luis Urias so far, he's been a good defensive shortstop. What do you think happened tonight with his throws?
Yeah, I mean, he just had a bad night throwing. Kind of missed the throw in the same spot every night, high, you know, three throws high. So he's played brilliant defense so far. His hands have been brilliant. He's fielded every ball completely cleanly. Some really nice plays on the run. Made a beautiful play to his backhand on the run earlier in the game. So, you know, he just got in a little funk thrown tonight. I don't know how else to explain that.
Yeah, just a rough one for Urias defensively, as three errors on his ledger. Boy, that's tough. But hey, young player, that's gonna happen. You're gonna have some rough goes once in a while as you kind of weed through some of these mistakes, and how you bounce back, I think, is key to that as well. Now, Brett Anderson, you know, people were puzzled a little bit why he returned here to Milwaukee. Signs a one-year deal last year and relative success, but then he comes back here, and boy, he's pitching right in. And this, I think it's a sort of an anchor force a little bit toward the bottom end of this rotation. You've got, you know, the big guns of Peralta. And again, he's lined up as the five, but it's 5-1-2 and Peralta, Burns. And I should say Peralta, Woody, and Burns. But you know, in the middle there, it's Brett Anderson and Hauser. And they, for the most part, this five-man rotation so far, formidable stuff in the campaign through 14 games. They've just been outstanding. And you had the one clunker for Brett Anderson. The Cubs got to him with the long ball. But, you know, outside of that, he's done a nice job. And that includes tonight's performance. Seven innings, just the one run given up. Six singles scattered throughout his seven full innings of work. Let's hear from the Brewers' left-hander.
Brett, how'd you get all this early offense?
I don't know. It's a little much. Like, we go like two or three increments, that'd be good. But hitting in the first inning isn't my favorite. But like I said, I'll take it. I'd rather have it this way than the other way. But yeah, it was good to get early offense again. And I was able to settle in a little better than the last outing and obviously go deeper and more efficient. And so I was happy with that. I think there should be a rule that if we're up by like four or more, I should be able to not take my at bat. I can just be like, here, just take like a minute and like do whatever you want out there, but I'll just sit in the dugout.
Were you upset with the were you upset with the strikeouts, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't put a ball in play. At least, I mean, I fouled maybe one or two off, but like in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. But hopefully I have more competitive bats going forward and, you know, if in a meaningful spot.
Hey, Brett, your sinker was really working well tonight. You got a lot of ground balls early. You got some double plays. You even worked around some errors by getting ground balls. It just seemed like a very good pitch for you tonight.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. There was some soft contact that that runner seemed to get on, and then there's some rockets that we turned a double play, and Jace fielded one about as far into right field as I've ever seen and got an out on it. So, yeah, it's kind of ass backwards a little bit that way. But sinker was – I was able to make some pitches when I need to. Just watching their approach against Hauser, another sinker guy yesterday, their early hack, able to put the ball in play. And fortunately for the most part, when they did, it was at the guys. So, yeah, just kind of watching how they attacked him yesterday and then taking it to what I did today.
Hey, Brett, in that last inning, what sort of helped you the most? What was your approach to kind of get out of that one?
Just throw strikes. The first, Gonzalez, the first one, he hit it off the end and his bat's a really light color. And I had no idea where the ball was. And by the time I found it, I was slowly rolling between my legs, I think. And so I had no idea where it was. And so that wasn't a great start. But, with the lead, you know, just go out there and pitch to contact like I had before. And, you know, more times than not, good things are going to happen whenever, you know, you keep them on their toes and force them to swing. So, yeah, I mean, it was just get back to throwing strikes and, you know, trying to get them out. And luckily, you know, I was a little fatigued there, just the seven up and downs, but you could tell by the balls in the air more so than on the ground, but they're able to catch them. So I'll take it.
Going seven so big, and it brought me a Sager bullpen. You only had these two other guys behind you. It's covering seven innings is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, anytime you can pitch deep in a ball game, it's beneficial for everybody. You know, bullpen, you know, like I said, when the offense scores early like that, you can kind of settle in and go about and make your pitches and try to be as efficient as possible. And yeah, it was one of the better overall team wins we've had so far.
Anybody else for Brett?
Brett, I don't know if you remember, but the team had trouble scoring in the first inning last year. I mean, you guys played from behind all the time. Now I think you've outscored the opponents 15-1, and you've been the starter in two of those big innings. It's quite a turnaround.
Yeah, like I said, I'd rather not hit in the first inning, but I'll take it. So, but yeah, we've come out swinging the bats well. It was kind of weird pitching against Trevor, who I've known my whole professional life essentially, and so yeah, it's kind of tough to see that from a friend perspective. But like I said, I'd rather be on this side than that one. But yeah, it was weird first time facing him in either league. And yeah, he got the better. I guess we got the same because he struck out too. So offensively, we didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, there he is, Brett Anderson, the Brewers left-hander tonight. A huge performance. And are they going to need him down the stretch here, in the month of April to kind of put a bow on this month? We're starting to get toward the latter stages of the month, and we see the schedule shaken out to where, you know, at that point, maybe you consider a six-man in the rotation or a skip. And I just wonder how that's gonna play out for Craig Counsell, because as the innings and the pitch counts, honestly, guys, I gotta say the pitch counts in all of baseball this year a little bit higher than I anticipated. Jeff, does that surprise you also? That I just figured it would be a little more on the, you know, four inning mark, four and a third, four and two thirds. When you get to five innings, maybe oh my goodness, he got to 80 pitches and it's still, you know, his third start here. I've been pretty impressed, not just with the Brewers, but around baseball on these pitch counts.
I am as well. I think that, I think a lot of it shows that, like with the Brewers and the injury bug that they have been bitten with lately, they need everybody to sit there and step up. So when you can get the outing that Anderson had today with seven strong, you know, and he only threw 97 pitches. So, yes, the pitch count is great. But, and like what I was asking you before, I think that Council sits there and he's going to have to kind of go a little bit longer with the starters. Obviously, you don't want to leave Hauser out there or Burns out there to throw 130 pitches. But, you know, maybe not be so quick with the hook until you can sit there and get these guys healthy again.
I mean, some of these lines here, you get in the mid-80s. You had Peralta with a 90. You've got, you know, Brett Anderson with a 90. You've got Woody with an 80-plus.
Right.
But I am a little surprised by those numbers this early.
I am, too. Where they might run into trouble here, Tim, is last night's game's a perfect example. And yes, it was a clunker and it was a blowout from the jump, which like today's game was on the good side instead of the bad side from yesterday. But in yesterday's ball game, I believe in, you know, A, I'm Polish, and B, this is a day ago. So, but I'm real damn close. I believe the bullpen only threw, I want to say, 5 less pitches than the starter did yesterday. And that's not a winning formula over a long stretch of time in the game of baseball.
Yeah, about lower 70s, the pitch count for Hauser yesterday. So that's what I thought would be more of the pattern here as you went with the innings jump from the 60-game shortened season to a full 162 this year. I mean, it's almost as if, I mean, take a look at Anderson tonight. Here we are, April, 17th here. You would have thought it was, you know, July 17th or August 17th. I mean, this is a little bit surprising to me on the pitch counts. But, again, as I alluded to, as we start heading to the finish line of the first month of the campaign, I just wonder if that's their protocol, if you will, is to, you know, maybe skip a turn, and that's how you alleviate some of the stress and some of the buildup from, you know, the innings, lack of innings last year to the buildup this year. I wonder, I have a sneaking suspicion that's probably going to be the way they do it, and whether that comes in a, you know, I don't know, a Zimmerman start, or they bring up Ashby, or they bring up, you know, somebody for a spot. Maybe it's a Lindblom, a spot start on a Marlin game or something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, for sure.
I'll tell you that tonight's game for me is absolutely perfect, and not just because the Brewers dominated the whole damn game, but they only needed 130 pitches, okay? And granted, Pittsburgh only scored a run, but the Brewers, you know, they did allow 7 hits, but they only had 1 walk, and they only struck out 4 guys. So, like, you know, we just heard from Brett Anderson a couple minutes ago, and, you know, he was saying how, you know, he was just pitching to contact because he had the early lead. You know, that's been the recipe for success in baseball for a long time. You know, jump out to a quick lead and then pitch to contact, and that'll keep your pitch count down and keep everybody fresh, especially while you're working through these offensive problems.
Yeah, and I wonder how this compares to, let's say, the beginning of last year. Not last year, I don't know if that's a good comparison, but, you know, maybe we'll roll that back into 2019 to see, you know, what sort of pitch counts early on in a given year are compared to this year, because it doesn't look like there's too much of a difference, does it? I mean, I'm seeing across the league, Scherzer's going, you know, 90 pitches. I mean, maybe we overreacted on the innings jump or the pitch count jump. We'll see. See how it shakes out. Take a break. Take a peek at the rubber match matchup for tomorrow's game as the Brewers will wrap up their homestand and the series and then head out to San Diego and Chicago on a big 6-game road trip, but some road to hoe tomorrow as they'll face the Pittsburgh Pirates in game 3 of this 3-game set. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 1250 AM The Fan, an Odyssey station.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
7-1, the final. Brewers take game two of this three-game set, and they'll go at it tomorrow. As I think it's a big win tonight to set up that game tomorrow. And when you think Freddie Peralta is going to be on the hill, you would assume that this is an offense game, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, baseball has been known to throw curveballs at you, and what you think is going to happen. You know, Freddie's going to be dealing. Chad Kuhl, he can be a tough customer, too, going for the Buccos. But, you know, you'd think, you know, one-run game, two-run game into the fifth, sixth inning. That has been known to go the opposite, and it'll be 7-5 in the sixth or something like that. So, but Freddie Peralta, pretty big outing for him as well. And we asked the other day earlier in the week if this starting rotation is for real or are they just on a run? I mean, it starts like this for Brett Anderson tonight. It starts like that for Freddie Peralta tomorrow. And I think just maybe more so for Freddie than Brett Anderson. Brett Anderson has a track record. Freddie doesn't. And if he continues to set the track record of being in the starting rotation and never looking back, that's where we want him to be. If Freddie Peralta does not go back to that bullpen on a full-time basis, the Brewers are in really good shape.
Absolutely.
Because, that means they're getting a bargain at what they signed him for in the five-year deal, and they're getting the success. But I just wonder if, Jeff, you would have lined it up a little bit different against San Diego and you would have slid everybody back one day. Freddie goes Monday night in San Diego. Then it's Woody. Then it's Burns for that three-game set. Would you have considered that?
Yeah, I definitely would have considered it. But, you know, like you said, Tim, we're 14 games in. So, you know, to sit there and, yes, every game is huge. And I'm the first one to say that a game in April, you know, counts the same as a game in August. But, you know, for me, I would just, it's working, leave it alone. And, you know, it's too early to say how for real they are, but it takes a start like that to get the conversation going so where they could turn real in the very near future.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I wouldn't mess with it quite yet.
too early. I
mean, these guys are just outstanding. This rotation has been, man, they've been impressive. All right, yeah, it's Freddie Peralta and Chad Kuhl tomorrow in Game 3 of this three-game set. That's going to do it for us here tonight. After the last pitch tomorrow afternoon, you make the switch. Hopefully talking about another Brewers victory and a series win, and then off to the road trip, San Diego and Chicago. So a lot to unpack tomorrow. After the last pitch, you make the switch to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. We'll meet you right here on 1250 AM The Fan. For Jeff Orlowski, he is the Polish Pipe Bomb. My name is Tim Allen. Have a great night, and remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.